Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit and was the first player Tom Izzo ever recruited to MSU. He played in the NBA for 14 years, won two gold medals in an NBA championship. In 1997, he donated $2.5 million to MSU in honor of his mom. It's the most money ever donated by any professional athlete in history to his or her alma mater. He also awards a Detroit Pershing High School graduate a scholarship to MSU each year. His name? Steve Smith. And I'm Jack Crisul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to the Atlanta Hawks TV color analyst, Steve Smith. Steve, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate it. It's an honor for me to get a chance to be on your show.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and dad?
Well, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, on the east side in the Conan Gardens area, on 7 Mile and Main area. My mom is Clarabel Smith. My dad, Donald D. Smith, he's also a Detroit native all his life. My mom grew up in Missouri and moved to Detroit when she was 8 or 9. And she spent the rest of her life in Detroit, Michigan as well.
What did you learn from your mom, and what did you learn from your dad?
Well, to start off with my dad, a guy who was a hard worker. Right after high school, he left and spent 5 years in the Army. Came back, bounced around jobs from, he worked as an armored car for a while. Then he got a job working for the city of Detroit, driving a bus, and he drove the city of Detroit bus for 37 years before he retired, and I had to make him retire. And when he retired, he actually retired 3 years before it was time to retire because he had that many days of vacation saved up. So he actually retired 3 years before they announced it, and just taking all vacation days. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom because my dad wouldn't allow it. He wanted her to stay at home and raise the kids, and just a beautiful person who pretty much was the neighborhood mom. And when you're growing up and you hear other kids calling your mother mom, you kind of get in a weird situation. You know, I asked my brother and asked my sister, and they would say, well, mom takes care of everybody in the neighborhood. And, you know, as I got older and older, I could understand she listened to everybody's problems and was a person that did a lot in the community.
You went to Detroit Pershing High School.
Went to Detroit Pershing High School, went to Coralville Elementary and Cleveland Middle School, and then Detroit Pershing High School.
A new young assistant named Tom Izzo gets hired by Michigan State, and the first person he ever recruits is Steve Smith.
I was Tom Izzo's first recruit when he was, you know, like you said, hired as the head assistant to Judd Heathcote. And from then on, me and Tom Izzo would be ever, you know, linked together. It was a guy who came down to City of Detroit, and at that time, he was a lot of guys that could actually, you know, play at a high level. And Tom saw something in me, and Tom got a chance to, you know, he's the hardest working man in college basketball. He came down every day to practice, and this in situations, I'll just show up wherever I was playing in summer league, and, you know, because of his dedication, and I wanted to, you know, Michigan State was always one of the places I wanted to go in the first place, but Tom made that job easier for me to choose Michigan State University.
Where else did you even consider going?
Well, considered going to the University of Missouri. A lot of kids from Detroit at that time was going to the University of Missouri, and a good friend of mine, Doug Smith, who was a great player from McKenzie High School, we were talking about going to school together, and we both went on a recruiting visit to Missouri. And for me, it was a great place, and playing with Doug and some other guys from Detroit, Lee Coward and Nate Bunton, who were already there, Michigan State was just, I thought, a better fit for me.
You played from 87 to 91. You're the second all-time leading scorer in Michigan State history. Can you talk about your career at Michigan State?
Well, it started off great. I mean, everything is hard work, even from Pershing High School under Johnny Gostin, who I think, you know, is a big reason why my basketball game, and not only as a basketball player and develop as a young man. Michigan State was not a highly known university at that time. You know, we had just left Scott Skiles in 86. It was kind of on a, you know, downward time of trying to get back up. It's been nationally known because of Urban Magic Johnson. But the hard work Tom and Judd Heathcote put in, you know, my first freshman year, you know, you play a little bit. And as my sophomore year, you gain more confidence. And by the time we put in as a team and as an individual, you know, we both, myself and the Michigan State University, was starting to get recognized nationally by my junior and senior year.
When did you realize you were good enough to play in the NBA?
I think around my junior year, confidence-wise, I always thought, you know, the sky was the limit. I've always been a person that's confident. But, you know, when you come to realistically, you got to say, when can you go? And I think my junior year, when teams started talking, you know, I might go in the top 10 picks, it was something I thought about. But I had to discuss with my mom and Coach Heathcote, Tom Izzo, and after that, you know, a couple of high school coaches and people were close to me. Leroy Haywood, a very close friend of mine and confident, Spencer Haywood's older brother, who taught me everything about the game growing up. They just said, one more year, Steve, what I think suits you well and suit Michigan State University well.
In today's collegiate world, if a kid stays in college more than a year or two, it's like he's not that good. Football is becoming more and more where you stay 3 years. What advice would you give these kids and their families?
Oh, you're right, Jack. It's changed. For me to even think about coming out my junior year was somewhat like kids now coming out of high school. It was not that heard of. I mean, you had to be a special talent, and maybe one, maybe two, you know, a handful of guys did it. Nowadays, you know, you can get 12, 13 kids from high school in there and name and draft. And I just say for me, it was a great situation for me. Everybody has a different situation. Financially, some kids, you know, definitely, you know, want to get a chance to earn some money from their family situations. And then some kids, is talent-wise, they're ready to go. But I think for me, off the court and on the court, I needed another year to mature, you know, my game. And I thought also going to college, taking away basketball, you know, going to college was a great thing for me. I mean, you hear about guys that if they can go back and do anything, it would be go back to college.
We're talking to Steve Smith. When we come back, we'll ask him about relying on the rock to be your future. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Steve Smith, who played in the NBA for 14 years. Steve, a lot of kids in the inner cities of this country believe that the rock is their way out, that basketball is the way out. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say definitely whatever you put your mind to, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, golf, hockey, you know, go at it 110%. But, you know, the old saying when I was growing up, you always need something to fall back on, and which is true, which is your education. And when I speak to kids now, I kind of change that old cliche and say you have to get your education first, and then you can fall back on sports or whatever it may be, secondary, because without education, no matter what you're trying to do, sing, dance, athletics, you need education to further your career. And so I try to tell kids, you know, basketball, football, and baseball, it's got to be secondary, and your education has got to be first, even though I know education is not fun. But as you get older and to succeed at any level from high school to on, you need your education, and also to be able to even go to a college and maintain and be able to do something you love, you need your education.
This is a long question. Our future is our youth. Less than 30% of the kids in Detroit that start high school get a high school diploma, and only 4% get a college diploma. Earlier this week, I saw a segment. Oprah Winfrey has built a phenomenal academy for girls in somewhere in Africa. And she says this is the greatest thing she's ever done. And somebody asked her, why don't you do this in your own country? And she said, I got sick of going into too many schools where I asked them, what do you want? And they say, I want an iPod and I want sneakers. Whereas what she heard from girls in Africa was, all I want is a uniform. What do we have to change, Steve?
Well, I think we all have to change and look back at the situations, like you said, and take what you said, you know, to heart. Our youth are our future, and without educating our youth, you know, you look at the situation when you give the numbers of 30% only graduate from high school and only 4% with a college degree. Where's the other 70% doing or going? You know, they don't graduate from high school, and where's the other 95 to 96% doing? They don't graduate with a college degree. And I think that's the biggest important thing is, you know, you're put out into a system. And not all of my failures, because a lot of them, they do other things and work in society. You know, it can do other things without a high school education or without a college education, but it's 10 times as harder. You have to have that willpower and that strength to go out there and do it. And then most people, if you have that strength, power, and willpower to do it, you know, you usually can do it in the classroom. And I think it also starts from, you know, elementary, middle school, and high school. Our public school system is failing us, and not because it's just a public school system. So I think we have to, you know, give our teachers, you know, scrutinize them more, the ones who are not doing well and the ones who are trying, put them in environments where they can teach the kids and have environments where there's not over 80% of the kids being disruptive where the other 20% are trying to learn. And I think also just giving back. I mean, also this is your time, and then also parents and guardians understanding that, hey, without your kid's education, he won't be able to go too far.
It's 1991. You get your degree from MSU. You become the fifth pick in the NBA. The Miami Heat draft you. You play for 14 years, Miami, Atlanta, Portland, San Antonio, New Orleans, Charlotte, and back to Miami. Let's talk about your NBA career.
Well, to get drafted, I mean, it's a dream come true. When I speak to kids to say, you know, I've lived a dream life, because when you're laying in the bed and, you know, kids pick out six or seven things where your parents, your brothers, and your teachers and people will say, what do you want to be? And I wanted to be an NBA basketball player, but never thought in my wildest dreams that that dream would come true. But it was always a dream that, you know, if I had a dream and I had to tell you which one it was, and that was what it was, to become an NBA player. And for me to get a chance to fulfill that dream, you know, not because it's something that's unattainable. And I tell everybody, you know, the greatest story in the world, if a guy can lay, or kid, or woman, or man can lay in a bed and say, I want to be X, and get a chance to do that for 14 years at a top level. You know, if I've dreamed a dream life, for me, is I'm blessed, and I'll give all thanks to everybody who got me to this situation. Played in the NBA, played amongst the best, and Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Kobe, and Shaq, and individually got a chance to win the NBA championship, was named on Dream Team 2 in the Olympics, and got a chance to win, you know, being an all-star, and grew up with a guy, Kevin Willis, from Persian High School and Michigan State University, and we won a championship together. So for me, it's been a storybook career as far as, you know, the NBA career, and that chapter is closed. Unfortunately, you know, I wish I could have played till 60 years old, and now another dream is steadily going on. I'm getting a chance to watch games as an analyst, you know, from the best seats in the house, and get a chance to put my input on the game.
Who's the best you ever played against?
Well, for sure, in an NBA game, the best I ever played against is Michael Jordan, because of his talent, because of his will to win, because he was a winner and he refused to lose. But didn't get a chance to play against Irvin Magic Johnson on the court, but in pickup games at Michigan State University, you would think they're the NBA World Championship. He's one of the best also, and I think up and coming is Kobe Bryant. I would put those three as the competitors I got a chance to play against. Those are the best three I played against.
Earlier this week, the Red Wings retired Steve Yzerman's number 19. And during his speech that night, he acknowledged Scotty Bowman, and he said, the biggest thing that Coach Bowman taught me was mental toughness. Steve, how do you get mental toughness?
Well, mental toughness, and I think the two guys for me, or three guys, is Johnny Golston, my high school coach, who has now passed away, Judd Heathcote and Tom Izzo, as guys that teach you that, you know, no matter what the situation is in sports, that you have to keep going at it. Whether the score is 100-1, you have to play the game the same way. You have to be focused. And And I think those guys drill it every day and every night. And all three guys I spoke about coached in the negative. And what I mean by that is there was really not too much of patting you on the back. You know, it was more of you can't do this, you didn't do that, the team didn't do that. And so that made your man on the court and off the court.
How have you learned mental toughness on the golf course?
Well, I'm trying to learn that, Jack. Unfortunately, I don't have any control right now, but I'm a competitor, and I'm getting better and better. Maybe sometime next year we get a chance to talk, I can, you know, tell you, you know, my score is coming down. It was a little bit better than my jump shot.
We're talking to Steve Smith, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Steve Smith, who in 2003 won an NBA championship after 12 years in the NBA with the San Antonio Spurs. Can you share that experience with us, Steve?
Well, that feeling right there, Jack, is an unbelievable feeling, you know, and when you get to win a championship after 12 years, you start to think, will I ever get my chance? I came close and year 10 with the Portland Trailblazers in the Western Conference Finals Game 7. We lost to the Lakers, but when I got traded to San Antonio in the second year, my 12th year, we got a chance to win the NBA championship. And the way we did it was just basically teamwork. And obviously we had some great guys and great players, and Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and those guys, and Bruce Bowen, you know, the guys you'll never forget. But then to get a chance to do it with a guy, what I would say is the guy I looked up to the most off the court in the NBA is David Robson. A class act, the way he carried himself and where he was selfless and letting Tim Duncan become the star of that team. You know, when David pretty much had 2 or 3 years left of being a star and could have handed over the reign after he wanted to, but handed over as soon as Tim was there. And the focus, and then just to get a chance to say when you set out of the goal and 15 guys on the team, 5 guys playing, get a chance to win that ultimate goal is that NBA championship ring is something, not just the trophies and the rings, but the feeling and what you went through you can never take away.
What's the difference between regular season and playoff basketball?
Well, I say people say great players are in regular season. Stars are made in the playoffs. There are some guys who play extremely well in regular season and can't deal with pressure. Playoffs is about being able to focus, not for 48 minutes, but for the whole playoffs series and being able to take your game to another level. And that's the type of guys that you really look at, and you look at their numbers in regular season and wins versus what their numbers are in regular season individual and wins, and that's become stars. Stars are made in playoffs.
Al McGuire, the legendary Marquette basketball coach, when he had a kid that was fabulous in practice and disappeared in the game, he called him Mr. 2 o'clock. So, what does team mean to Steve Smith?
Team means a lot of things. I think, first of all, if you look at it, when you're talking about a basketball team, you got every guy who has to play a role. And unfortunately, sometimes guys don't want to play a role. When you look at when we won a championship, there was guys that had to play a role, including myself. You know, everyone can't be a star, but you can be a star at different moments to win an NBA championship. When you go to the Olympics and you got a team full of stars to win a gold medal, someone has to play their part. And I think that team goes along with every corporation, goes with everything you do in life, you know, in your field of business. When you have great teams and great players, and I put great players as guys willing to sacrifice, everyone can't do the same job at the same level. Everybody has a job to do, and if everybody's doing their job the right way, then you have cohesiveness and guys doing it together. And that's how I look at team. The end result is winning. And when you're talking about sports, the end result of in business is achieving more as far as, you know, your work ethic and what you put out. And whenever you can do that, then you have a great team.
When we come back, we'll ask Steve Smith about winning a gold medal. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Steve Smith, who in 2000 won a gold medal in Sydney, Australia for the United States of America. Steve, what was it like standing on the podium, getting the gold medal, and listening to our national anthem?
Well, you know, getting a chance to stand and represent your country, you know, and when you dream, like I dreamed, you always wanted to do everything. And winning a gold medal was top for me because of how Olympic gold medal athletes were looked upon, you know, once upon a time when you won a gold medal. It was just an honor for me. And it's funny. It's you stand attention, you're proud to be American, and you hear the national anthem when you're in different sports. But to hear it in front of all the other countries, in front of everybody in the Olympics, the national anthem seemed like it was going in slow motion. And every word you can hear clearly because you were a sense of pride of being from the United States of America. And then to get a chance for myself to take the gold medal and put it around my son's neck, who was at 1 year old at the time, you know, it was just a proud moment for me. I mean, he will be at a chance to see pictures and go back and say I was a part of that. It was just special for me and my family and a kid from the east side of Detroit getting a chance to win a gold medal. It was just an honor for me.
Where's that gold medal today?
Gold medal's right here at the house, and you know, every so often my son brings it out and gets a chance to show all his friends, and I have to run and get him because he might leave it outside. He could leave it anywhere.
Take it to show and tell, huh?
Show and tell. A lot of time has been there for both sons.
Now, because we alternate, every 2 years we have the Olympics. Since 2000, when you've watched the Olympics and an American has won an event, and they reenact that podium, you know, gold medal, national anthem, what do you do when you're watching that TV and that happens?
Well, it's that special feeling. If you feel like you're there and you look at it, especially from guys that, you know, are in the individual sports, all the hard work they've done, and they're the best in the world right now, and they get a chance to stand there proud. And for us to just see, you know, you feel a sense of pride, and I know to see different teams and individuals, you know, I feel like I'm there, and you get a special feeling of people receiving that gold medal because they never can take that away.
Today, the NBA is a United Nations. Europe, China, Australia, everywhere, Africa. Our world has become flat, globalization. We've become one family. Can you talk about the United Nations within the NBA?
Well, you know, it's a lot of international guys coming over here and playing and getting a chance to say, hey, I can make the NBA if I put in the time. I think also David Stern, by having different type of preseason game and scrimmages, you know, in overseas countries, in Europe, in China, and then also television. Television has reached everywhere now, and now they're trying to get it. They're getting a chance to learn from a lot of coaches and players who go over there and do clinics, and they're saying it's possible. And then you get a couple guys that are international players that do well. You just give those guys so much hope that I can do it if I put in the hard work, and that's why you see, you know, a lot of international players right now in the NBA.
You mentioned earlier your love for Tom Izzo. Why so much respect? Talk about Tom Izzo.
Well, not only as a basketball player, you know, he loves you as a person. And I would look at it and tell any kid the reason why you would choose Michigan State basketball, one is A1. But then how Judd Heathcote and Tom Izzo will groom you as a human being to go out into society and become a great person in whatever field you may be, even if it's not in basketball. He's a guy who cares, and that's why he's had so much success, because he does it on the court and off the court. And, you know, I don't think he gets enough recognition for what he's done at Michigan State University. He's been in the Final Fours numerous times in his short career and actually won a national championship already. And a guy who just cares, a guy who I still talk to, you know, on a monthly basis, and I go up there all summer and get a chance to work out with the guys, and he's never changed with all the success that he's had.
It's 1997, and you donate $2.5 million to your alma mater, MSU, for a student athletic academic center, and in the name of your mom, why did you do it?
Well, the donation covered a lot of institutions and people who helped me along the way. first to talk about the Clarabelle Smith Student Academic Center. It's a center where student athletes get a chance to get their degree, you know, with a lot of help and special help for athletes because they need it, not because of, you know, not being able to keep up with the work, but with our schedule sometimes we're not allowed to be in class and we miss a lot of time. And this here helps you keep you on track and gets guys graduating. I know there's been, you know, since the Academic Center has opened, you know, since 1997, the graduation rate is up higher. And even in 2003 and 2004, the graduation rate for student athletes was higher than the regular student body. The grade point average has risen from, you know, guys, 35% of the student athletes to over 60% of the student athletes having a 3.0 or better. And you look at those numbers, these guys, if they don't make it professionally to go on in their careers in athletics, they will all have a degree and be able to, you know, go out into society and get a job and sustain a pretty good life.
In America today, we're bombarded with the Trump Tower, you know, where egomaniacs want an edifice named after me. Why did you ever name the building after your mom?
Well, that's another reason. I mean, the Clarabelle Student Academic Center, you know, obviously a lot of people wanted it to be named after me. It was my way of honoring my mom for everything she did. Out in Michigan State was one way with the Student Academic Center, but the naming of it in my mom's honor and the Smith family, which is also my part of my brother and sister and dad, there's a legacy, and which is it's a funny legacy, Jack, because a lot of people go, who is Clarabelle Smith? You know, what does she do at Michigan State? She never attended Michigan State, and people have to go. And, you know, I have a lot of sayings and quotes up at the Academic Center. She did a lot for people, and she did a lot for Steve Smith, and that's the reason why I named it the Clarabelle Smith Student Academic Center.
You said at that time, I've had great coaches, but none greater than my mom. I've had great role models, but none greater than my mom. I've had great teammates and fans, but none greater than Clarabelle Smith.
Yes, and that was my quote, Jack, when I got a chance to think of, like, what did I want people to know about Clarabelle Smith? And I think that quote sums it all up. She was my coach, my role model, my biggest fan, and you know, I wanted her legacy to live on forever.
You go back, or you come back to Michigan State very often. What's it like when you walk into that building?
Well, it's a funny feeling, you know, Jack, because of the building, and then there's a huge portrait of myself and her. And, you know, it's just a sense of me being proud. And then you go back to think, well, when I was a little kid, did you ever think of something like this would ever happen? And for me to get a chance to walk in that building, and for me to take my two sons, my wife, to get a chance to go in that building, is just a special feeling for myself and also for the Smith family. And the great thing for me now is kids in the inner city of Detroit and public school systems, you know, are taking field trips to go see the Clarabelle Smith Student Academic Center and all across Michigan. And it was the first student academic center, you know, that was constructed, you know, for just student athletes, you know, in the United States of America. So we were pioneers and we did it first. And my mom will have the first one named the Clarabelle Smith Student Academic Center.
As years go by, are they starting to call you old school already in that building?
Yeah, because, you know, most of the kids, when you look at situations, you know, I've been gone since 91, so definitely they call you old school. But the good thing is they can call me old school because I'm still around, you know, every summer. I spend at least 2 months up in Michigan, whether it's in the Detroit area, East Lansing area. And along with my donation, I got a chance to, you know, also donate an extra $800,000. Well, $600,000 at the beginning and another $200,000 for a Steve Smith scholarship fund that a kid from my high school get a chance to go to Michigan State University on a full ride, and he's financial free, you know, nothing but to go there and get your grades and come out there with a degree.
When we come back, we'll talk further to Steve about that yearly gift to a Pershing High student. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Crisula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Since 2001, you've given an additional $800,000, always to have a Pershing High School grad scholarship to MSU. Can you talk about some of the kids that have been awarded those scholarships?
Yes, Jack. I mean, it's been great. I've got a chance to, you know, start this Steve Smith Scholarship as in a connection with Michigan State University. And what's the great thing about that, kids get a chance to use my Clarabelle Smith Student Academic Center. They get a chance to get a four-year ride, financial free, to go to Michigan State University. And unfortunately, I only can pick one kid a year. And this is a lifetime commitment for myself and Michigan State University. Just to see the kids get a chance to graduate. I've had three kids so far graduate, one in communications, one in the food industry management, and Chantel, the recent one, is in accounting, but she's furthering her education and going to school to get her law degree. So, and then I have four kids right now, a freshman, sophomore, and junior, and a senior at Michigan State University. So pretty soon, you know, 30, 40, 50 years from now, we should have a whole bunch of Steve Smith Scholarship kids, you know, with their degrees in society, trying to make a difference.
With all these kids, someday you could run for political office.
I don't know about that. I just I keep working on my golf game, Jack, because I have three golf tournaments around the state of Michigan, in Detroit, Grand Rapids, and East Lansing area, to raise money for my scholarship fund. So the better my golf game get, I guess I can raise more money for the kids.
Many people who grow up in poor neighborhoods and become successful run away. You've not run away, and you've given back. Talk about that.
Well, I think it's our duty as adults and as the generation that's in front of the kids now to give back not only financially but of your time. I think your time means more than financially, but if you can do both, it's our duty. And I think people don't understand is that the only way a generation behind you can better themselves is with the help of leadership of people who have been through it, and especially for some people who have been semi-successful and some other people, just to tell stories and come back and look at what's needed. And I think, you know, if everybody plays their small part, and all small parts will add up to pretty much, you know, when they say building a village, it takes everyone. It takes a whole community and neighborhood, and I think that's what we need.
You had a lot of love growing up, and you had plenty because every time you asked for more, your dad would say, no, Steve, you've had plenty, but you didn't have much. Today, you and your wife, Millie, can give your two sons anything that they want. How do you raise your sons where they'll have the right values?
Well, the same reason, the way my mom and dad and her mom and dad did, you have to work for what you get. And I think the biggest thing is we're stressing education. And for them to understand the value of the dollar and understand there's always going to be people, no matter what situation you're in, that's less fortunate, so you have to be blessed to where you're at. And I think that's the way the value system we work on is, you know, it's not a, it's for you to take this as a opportunity. It's not something that was supposed to be given to you. And you have to win your, you know, do your part in this to be able to get your opportunities.
A few minutes ago, you talked about the three annual charity golf outings, which have netted an additional $500,000 to MSU. How can we learn more about those golf outings?
Well, they're on my website, the www.stevesmithscholarshipfund, which is SSSFUND.com. And I have them every year annually. And my goal is right now I send one kid from Pershing High School, and you know, the ultimate goal, Jack, you have to have goals, is where I'd be able to send maybe five or six kids from Pershing and maybe another five or six from just the Detroit area to get a chance to go to Michigan State University and get that opportunity, you know, to get a degree. You know, what touched me, Jack, maybe 9, 10 years ago when a kid say, Steve, how can I go to Michigan State and if I don't play basketball like you did and get a scholarship? And that's one of what made me, you know, come up with the Steve Smith Scholarship Fund and want to give back.
In November of 2006, you were inducted into the World Sports Humanitarian Hall of Fame, along with Harmon Killebrew, Steve Largent. Can you talk about that experience?
Well, that experience is unbelievable for me, Jack. You know, everyone wants to be in the Athletic Hall of Fame, but to get a chance to be recognized for what you've done that had nothing to do with athletics, I think is more of a situation where I'll be proud of my kids to get a chance to look back upon and say, hey, my dad was, you know, inducted into the Hall of, you know, the Sports Humanitarian Hall of Fame for what he did off the court. And I think awards like that is pretty much not for me. It's for my kids. It's for everybody who helped me along the way. And just to give thanks to everybody for me, that gave thanks to everybody who helped me along the way.
What are you doing today?
What am I doing right today? I'm sports analyst with Fox. I'm doing local Atlanta Hawks games. I've been in the real estate game, primarily in Michigan, for the last 15 years. And then the next chapter, just steady going and going and attacking different things. And I think next, I want to further myself into sports analyst and one day, you know, do a little bit more, I think, in the business side and definitely in real estate. I have no complaints, but you just want to keep going and going and getting better in every situation.
Who's the best analyst today?
Well, I think the guy I looked up to was Hubie Brown is a guy, and Doc Rivers when he was, you know, analyst. But I think right now the best analyst besides those guys is myself.
Do you now question Doc Rivers now that he's a coach?
No, I don't question him. You know, I always give my two cents and give my two point of views on what all coaches and what players and teams should be doing, and that's playing the game the right way.
Do you see the game differently as an announcer and an analyst than you did as a player?
You do. I mean, when you look at it as a player, you have some situation where you can put your imprint. For me, it's to getting the fans to understand my imprint and what guys are supposed to do. You have to be very, very creative. And I think the biggest thing is to be yourself and to be honest. And I get a chance to have the fans, which I think is a great opportunity to look at the game from a former player's, you know, perspective, who's been through all sides of winning and losing, and individual good and bads and woes and injuries, and growing up in inner city and different situations, and they get a chance to see it from a guy who's been out there and lived that dream.
What's your prediction? Who will be in the NBA Finals and who will prevail?
Well, I think right now I'd have to say one team. It'll be the Detroit Pistons versus the San Antonio Spurs. And then it'll be my tie. It'll be hard for me. I would love for them guys to be a tie because of all my friends in San Antonio and my allegiance to Detroit. You know, always a Detroit Pistons fan. But I hope to go into Game 7. I get a chance to watch a great game.
In business today, they say that every day is a tryout. In the NBA, that's what you lived with every game. Talk about living life where every day is a tryout.
Well, you have to. You got to look at every day as a situation where you're trying to make a team. You're trying to better yourself in business because there's always a younger cat or someone else behind you trying to gang up on you. And I think also you have to do it for yourself. You have to stay motivated. And I think that's a big key for athletes and everybody is how well you can motivate yourself to go and attack practice or attack your job, you know, at 110% every day.
We've got 1 minute left. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, I think the greatest advice, which is much needed right now, is the advice I've been getting since I was little, is for the kids to get your education and read. Every question that you have in life is somewhere in a book somewhere, and you don't really have to have anybody tell you or show you, you know, or explain everything. You can go get the answers for yourself if you really don't want to listen to anybody. The more you read, the more knowledge you will have, and the better off you'll be at any industry or anything you want to do and succeed in life. The more books you read, the more you'll be prepared in life.
Steve, I want to thank you for being a guest tonight. I want to commend you for being a terrific role model. In life, our actions scream so loud, we can't hear a word you say. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jack, and it's my pleasure being on your show and want to take my hat off to everything you do. This show is definitely, I think, enlightening people.
Please join in next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Grasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Believe in yourself. What else can you leave you to? Looks like you're the